What is it that Washington still fundamentally misunderstands about Iran, given that it already has that background of the Iran-Iraq war to use to learn from?
I think not so much the absence of the knowledge as it is the absence of an interest. We are so arrogant. You have Pete Hegseth says it not in nearly every time he has a press conference. President Trump has been repeating it ad nauseum ever since he's been in office. They say we have the most amazing and powerful military history in the history of the world, not just today, but in the history of the world. And they think there's nothing we can't do. And so we don't need to worry about history. We don't need to worry about what they're going to do because we're so much more powerful, it won't matter. We can just attack them, and because we want this to happen, it will. And that was really driven home. I mean, not just the least of all because we plunged into this war without a plan and just thought we could just bring a lot of firepower and that would just cause them to crumble. And then when it didn't, now that we're trying to scramble to figure out what are we going to do next? There was an interview with former four-star General Keith Kellogg, who was the former national security advisor for the vice president in the first Trump term, was President Trump's envoy to Ukraine war in this term. So he's one of the elites in our country. Obviously, the absolute right-hand man of the president earlier this year, or within just the last few months before he finally resigned from that position. He is setting himself up to explain and expose our real problem. He thinks, for example, yeah, you know what? We can get through the Strait of Hormuz. It's no problem. We just take the Karg Island and part of the Strait of Hormuz, some of the islands up there, and the shipping will be over, and we'll run the ships through it, and we might lose a couple, but then it'll be fine, and we'll just go through it. And I'm just thinking, as a military perspective, I'm like, you can't be serious. Do you think that if two ships are sunk trying to force through the Strait of Hormuz, that there's going to be a third one? That they're going to say we'll be? He said this. I'm not exaggerating. He literally said, "And then you'll be good to go. The first two won't work, and then you'll work the kinks out. But then we'll be good to go." I mean, that's irrational. What ship? What civilian tanker in the world, after seeing the first two go through and get hit, or the American warships get hit, it says, I'll be number three in the list. Sure, send me. No one's going to do that. But he thinks that it will. You could tell he was sincere in what he said. He thought, yeah, we can just go through. This is the kind of person that is advising President Trump. He himself has no military experience, of course, so he was reliant on the people he surrounds himself with. We know that he wasn't listening to Joe Kent because Joe Kent resigned in protest over it, specifically on these issues. He said there was no imminent threat, and he's not listening to anything else. And he is listening to the likes of General Kellogg and General Jack Keane, who also talks about how easy this would be, or Mike Pompeo. It's all the people in President Trump's ear telling him things that are irrational and that are self-evidently not true. So we're not reading history. They're not reading history because they don't need to in their minds. We're so powerful we can overcome history, but history will have its say. And the Iranian people are demonstrating that we should have listened to that, but now we're stuck.
That's right. On March the 18th, Israel, in coordination with Trump, and this was confirmed by Barak Ravid of Axios, struck Iran's South Pars gas fields. South Pars is Iran's biggest gas field that is shared with Qatar. Iran retaliated, of course, as it said it would, by hitting oil and gas facilities in Saudi Arabia and Qatar. Israel's strike on South Pars is a new wave of escalation, and it is effectively meant to take this war up a notch, to further strain relations, escalate, and of course, ultimately destroy any chances of an off-ramp for Trump. Talk to us about what this new step up the escalation ladder means for the war in Iran.
Well, let's first take a look at the premise that the U.S. coordinated with it. That's what Axios is reporting, that it was coordinated with Israel. President Trump, though, on Truth Social overnight, vehemently denied that, said in no way, shape, or form do we have anything to do with it, said he was very angry at Israel for having launched it. But then it got weird because then he says, but if Iran retaliates, and apparently since that time they have, so we'll see if the rest of his threat comes to pass. He said, but if they do, we will destroy utterly the Pars, North Pars field, which is irrational because it's part owned by Qatar, our ally. And Iraq, our other ally, relies heavily on electricity generated from that. They've already lost, I think, I saw like 31,000 kilowatt hours of power immediately got shut off. So we'll see if that comes back on. But why in the world would President Trump threaten to destroy something that's going to harm two of our regional allies as punishment for Iran if they do something? I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all. I really hope he's not going to do that, but that shows you how difficult it is to navigate these things already when President Trump himself is talking stuff that's illogical and irrational.
We're hearing more and more military and foreign policy experts mention that Israel may use nuclear weapons against Iran if things don't go as planned, which we see that they're not going according to their plan. And Israel is, of course, outside the legal norms of nuclear arms control. It has not signed the NPT, the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. And this means that it does not adhere to the same standards as the five nuclear power states, which are Russia, the US, the UK, France, and China. It also doesn't adhere to the same standards that the 186 non-nuclear states have to adhere to. What's interesting is that North Korea signed the NPT, but then withdrew in 2003. But of course, Israel never has. So reports indicate that Israel has close to or more than 200 nuclear warheads. And for comparison, this is close to the size of France's nuclear arsenal. Professor John Mearsheimer argued that it makes logical sense for Iran to seek nuclear weapons as deterrence. And clearly, the United States-Israel attack on Iran shows that unless a state has nuclear weapons, there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that prevents a stronger actor from coming in and trying to attack or regime change. So, you know, you warned that the United States actions could actually push Iran toward nuclear weapons. Can you explain that dynamic from a military deterrence point of view and from the point of view of where the world stands today with nuclear non-proliferation treaty and yeah. sort of the situation that would prevent states from seeking nuclear weapons or a dirty bomb?
In the last, I guess, about 10 days on my show, I have had former Ambassador Chaz Freeman, and yesterday John Mearsheimer was on our show, and both of them said they think that will happen, that Iran is going to get a nuclear weapon, that probably behind the scenes right now they are racing to a bomb. Because it's almost illogical for them not to at this point. The guy who had the fatwa against it, we've already assassinated. The new guy, Mojtaba Khamenei, who knows? We haven't even seen him in public yet. No statement for him yet. We don't even know. He apparently could be seriously wounded for all we know. But it doesn't matter because those who are in charge now have every reason in the world to race to a bomb as one of the only means. When we have set as an objective the destruction of the state of Iran, they literally have no reason not to. If they have this process material, if they have the engineering capacity to turn that into a bomb, it would almost be illogical for them not to. So given the current circumstances, I wager that the chances are very good that that's what's happening behind the scenes right now. Now, we should, of course, never gotten to this point because they had a fatwa against it. They had a, on the table, negotiated a way to physically prove that they couldn't make a bomb. That's now gone. And so the idea of trying to prevent other states from getting it is also gone, because by doing this, we show that people are looking at North Korea and they're going, those guys were smart. The only way to prevent the United States from going after you is to have a nuclear weapon. Look what happened to Libya. They gave up their program. Their leader was eventually just brutally killed in the street because American air power got rid of a lot of their ability to control protest. We're trying to do the same thing in Iran right now. And if they were to fall, that's just going to make everybody else in the world go, the idea is not to get into the NPT. The idea is to race to a bomb on your own. Even some of our allies may say, well, America's our friend today, but who knows that they could change tomorrow. We better get our own independent deterrent because people want to be safe. And if they think that's the only way they can get it, then we provide perversely incentive for them to go down that path. The only thing that would have made sense is for Trump to have taken that golden opportunity on February the 27th and said, yes, we're going to take that deal. We'll have the IAEA inspectors return. We'll reprocess that stuff out of existence, and they'll have no more capability. And then other people around the world have an incentive to say, okay, well, we don't need a nuclear bomb because they now don't have one, Iran, and we see that there's a plan in place to make sure it stays that way so the nuclear club doesn't grow. So maybe we can keep going at least another season without one. They would still be worried, but maybe less so. Now we've given incentive. We've done the opposite of trying to keep weapons out of anyone's hand to prevent others from having them. We've given everybody incentives to make them. And I, you know, no telling where this is going to go. A lot of people are going to wait until this plays out and they're going to see. But in the years to come, I mean, there's going to be some difficult conversations behind the scenes in a lot of different countries, and they're going to have to be making a lot of choices, and we're not helping them make the right one.
How likely is it, do you think, that Israel, I'm not saying the United States, I don't think that's going to happen, but how likely do you think is it that Israel may use a nuclear weapon in this war on Iran, if it feels that its plan is not going to work out the way that it wants it to?
Well, I'll tell you, my initial concern was pretty much what you just articulated. My initial concern was that Israel may use a nuclear weapon. I now think that the chances are higher, maybe not by a lot, but maybe by like this, that we may use a nuclear weapon. Here's why. The pressure on Israel is less. It's going to grow over time if this war doesn't get over, and if Iran maintains the ability to continue to send missiles into Israel and to continue to damage, and they can't stop it. They don't have enough interceptors, and what they have are inadequate. So missiles keep getting through no matter what. And if the damage starts getting too high, if it starts causing problems with their economy, then they may think of other ways to bring this to an end. But the pressure on the United States is more acute, because that price of oil still is hovering right about $100 a barrel. But a lot of experts in the field say that if the strait is not opened up, that by the beginning of April, barely 2 weeks from now, it could be up around 120 to 150. And the longer the thing stays closed, the more that's going to start to rise up. The more there's going to be problem with urea and other kinds of products from natural gas that are necessary for agriculture. Culture around the world. One third, 35% by one study, of all the world's urea that's necessary for fertilizer that allows farmers around the globe to be able to make enough food that we need. Without that, they can't do it. So there's going to become an increasing pressure on countries around the world, to on the United States, to get this war over with. Well, if it can't be done militarily, if President Trump can't use our power to force the thing open, and I could go through a whole list of reasons why we can't, then the pressure is going to be, well, maybe we'll have the same calculation that we did in Japan in World War II, which the claim was, well, we can't send our troops into, you know, clear all the islands and then to go island by island in Japan, because we would have, by one estimate they claim anyway, that one study said there would be 1 million casualties in America to try and physically take all of that. And so they said, well, we're not going to do that. We'll just drop the atomic bomb. Well, you can see where President Trump and certainly those around him can say, well, Mr. President, the only way we can open this now is to have a ground invasion of like 500,000 people, but we would lose 150,000, 200,000 troops to try to get that done. And even then, it might not succeed. So he may calculate, then I guess the only thing I can do is to launch a tactical nuclear weapon, because he cannot allow this situation to go indefinitely. We can't get into the months. Forget about weeks. We can't go months at this because our economy can't handle it. It's already shaky. Our Western allies' economies are already shaky. And if you make a barrel of oil from the $67 it was before this war started up into the 120, 130, 140, 150, et cetera, God only knows how high it could go. They can't sustain that, and that'll bring everybody's economy crashing down, and President Trump can't have that. Israel has shown that they are very adept at getting President Trump to do what they want. The fact that they were able to cajole him in and to bait him into launching this war shows that they probably would also, if push comes to shove, they would 10 times rather have the U.S. launch a nuclear weapon so they don't have to and they don't face any of the fallback. So I think that you would see them put pressure on Trump to do that. So I think it is a risk for them, but given their history and their success recently, I think they would try to get President Trump to do it, recognizing that the time is more against him than it is against Israel. There's a time clock on Israel, and they can't go too far if he doesn't, and then the risk would switch if Trump doesn't do that. But I worry that one or the other of us may use nuclear weapons within half a year from now.